Listener-supported radio, we are KX93.5 right here in Laguna Beach. Since we launched the radio station back in October, everybody claims to know Taylor Hawkins. Everybody claims to, well, everyone says they could deliver Taylor Hawkins, but now we are finally talking to him on the phone. Hi there.
Hi there, sir. How are you?
I'm doing very well. It is a pleasure to talk to you. Did you even know that Laguna Beach had its own member-supported radio station?
Well, I knew Dan, my buddy Dan, did the reggae thing. I heard about that, so yeah.
Oh, Staffite?
Yeah, Staff. And then the infamous Tim Klohasi has told me he's sort of always been the eyes and ears and nose of Laguna.
The eyes and ears and nose. Well, we're like 10 months old. You know, I've worked for Clear Channel, CBS Radio, whatever. But this project really is something special. We're really, you know, playing what's hot and alternative, but... You know, it'll play twice a day max, which allows us to play more B-sides, more independent artists type of thing. And cool. So far, so good. I feel like the industry is looking at us, and maybe someday the Clear Channel Fat Cats will follow suit, you know?
Cool.
So your ties to Laguna Beach, you're not born here, but what are your ties to Laguna Beach?
Well, I grew up here from the age of four, and then I, you know, went to high school here, and then... came back here and lived here until I was probably like around 30 or something like that.
When I first started here, you know, you do the Google search and you read about, you know, the old school 1960s brotherhood of eternal love and stuff like that. I imagine the neighborhood has changed very much, but it's still really cool in the fact that they do support their art, and couldn't be a better place for a radio station, I'll tell you that. So you cut your chops playing music in Laguna Beach?
Yeah, kind of. Sort of. I mean, really, I was never in any band in the town that anybody really wanted to hear. You know, I was always kind of playing in garage bands and trying to get bands together semi-successfully, really.
Right.
Probably more on the unsuccessful end of things. But, you know, I was always felt a little bit out of step with a lot of what was popular in Laguna as growing up. I mean, in Laguna was, with all due respect to Dan, you know, it was more of a reggae town, and I was always kind of more into, rock music, really. So most of the local bands, like the Rebel Rockers, and I know we just lost one of the main cats from that band. And,
right.
And there was a band called The Basics. That was back in the 80s, you know, the Minority Brothers. There was a bunch of these little bands. The funny thing is, a lot of professional musicians have come out of Laguna.
I find that to be the case, and there's a lot of producers and, I guess, people in the industry around town and pretty successful people and people who are relevant in music. A lot of people are here.
Yeah, I mean, there's a guy named Dean Butterworth, who is a drummer, and he actually used to give me a lesson from time to time. I was fairly unteachable, but he's had a successful career playing drums. He played with Morrissey and countless other people, and one of my best friends, Drew Hester. They both of these guys spent time playing with Common Sense. Drew plays with Joe Walsh and countless other people. And even Travis Barker from Blink-182. He was a trash man here back in the early
90s. No way. He said he used to live behind the Thai restaurant just across the street from the radio station.
Yeah,
Travis Barker. He denied my interview, but we saw his tour bus across the street, and I was literally doing my radio show. I ran across the street to talk to Travis Barker, but I imagine we'll get him one day in here too. But again, going back to your roots, man, has it always been drums for you? And what type of music were you exposed to growing up? Like, what type of stuff were your folks listening to?
Well, my dad didn't really care much about music. My mom was just really basically just listening to, you know, pop radio as a child, which for me, when I was a child, you know, your basic late 70s, early 80s kind of, you know, Eagles and stuff like that. Just rock music, you know, The Police, Rush, Queen, and tons of stuff, you know. And then in high school, I got really into Jane's Addiction and Chili Peppers.
So it was
stuff,
like,
you know?
those artists you kind of wanted to emulate when you were growing up, like in high school type of thing?
Yeah, you kind of want to emulate when you're a kid mostly. You know, I wanted to be Stuart Copeland, and then I wanted to be Neil Peart, and later on, I wanted to be Steve Perkins. And then you get older and you just kind of stop hopefully wanting to be anybody, but become a mixture of all those things that you love growing up, you know?
Now we got kids growing up here and they aspire to be a Taylor Hawkins type. Now we're talking to Taylor Hawkins, Laguna Beach's own. on the radio right now. We are member-supported KX93.5. Did you know that your hair has its own Twitter handle?
Yeah, and that person who does that is the Foo Fighters tour manager, a guy named Gus Brandt. And he always thinks my hair looks interesting and different with each day that passes. So he would snap photos on his iPhone when we were on tour and decided to create a Twitter page. Now, I got to be honest, I don't even really know how Twitter works. I don't have a Twitter page personally. I've never twitted or tweeted or any of that in my life.
Right.
I'm not really sure how it works. I'm pretty old when it comes to that sort of social media.
Sure.
But, you know.
I think that was very funny,
Fighters,
man.
Luckily with the Foo Fighters, we have a lot of people that are well in the know of that type of thing, and they take care of stuff like that. So when I'm at home from time to time, he'll send me a text and say, send me a picture. I'll just shoot him a picture, and he'll become a tweet.
It's really funny, man. When I kind of Googled it, you know, to get ready to talk to you earlier this afternoon, it takes you to that particular Twitter page. And also Taylor Hawkins and the Coattail Riders, which really hasn't been updated for a couple years now. Now, we're talking to you specifically because Chevy Metal, they're playing Laguna Beach tonight at 7 Degrees. Thanks so much for doing it. Dude, the video went viral of you playing Costa Mesa over the weekend, you know, with Dave Grohl hitting the stage and everything like that. But is this what happens with Taylor Hawkins when he has time over the summer when the Foo Fighters aren't touring the world? You get together with a couple of your buddies and you do the Chevy Metal project?
Yeah, I mean, I would hardly even call it a project. It's just like a cover band. It's just like, you know, it's just like any other kind of cover band. Even like, you know, there was a bunch of insurance salesmen getting together on the weekend and playing, you know, old Van Halen songs for fun. And that's basically all it really is. Come a little bit more than that just because it's fun. And people have fun when we play. And we play a bunch of old songs that people know and remember and love. And it's just a good way to keep my hands loose, you know, drumming wise, and just kind of just do something that's just sort of low stress and fun.
Right.
And it's all about just kind of having a good time.
Again, Chevy Metal is the project, and they do have a presence on Facebook.com. Taylor Hawkins on the line on member supported radio, KX93.5. So, dude, at what point did you realize that playing music would actually be your career? Because, I mean, you know, before the Foo Fighters, I guess they plucked you out from Alanis Morissette's band. There was projects back in the day, Like Anyone. You know, when did you actually realize, wow, this could actually be a thing and I may not have to work a traditional day job anymore?
Well, that only happened once I stopped having to have a day job, you know? I mean, that's when I said, well, for the moment, for the time being, this is my job. I mean, you always dream of some sort of insane future like that, but you don't ever really expect that it could happen. And I don't think anybody should ever seriously consider it a career option, because it being one is so far and few, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm just really, essentially, really lucky, you know? I really am, you know? I mean, I worked hard at my craft, but there's many people that do work hard at their craft and never sort of achieve the success as far as, you know, success I've had. You know, I mean, I've just been really lucky to be at the right place at the right time and worked hard anyway, you know, and
sure,
stuck with it. You know?
So hard work and talent and also maybe a little bit of good luck, right place at the right time type of thing. But you must have been doing something right, networking through the people, and you know, the Foo Fighters did find you. And, you know, I guess the rest is history there. So the Foos haven't really come out with a record till, I mean, it was the tail end of 2011, I want to say, right?
Maybe even earlier. I think it might have been 2010. I don't really remember exactly when Wasting Light came out.
Right.
Google
that. Yeah, absolutely. Take us into the recording process, if you don't mind. A lot of people would like to be a fly on the wall on some of those sessions. The last record, Wasting Light, what are the differences between that record and the record that you first put out when you guys started with the Foo Fighters? You know, was Butch Vig on board the whole way type of thing?
Well, no. Butch, this is the first Foo Fighter record he's ever produced.
Okay.
And to be honest, I really wasn't even on the first Foo Fighter record. I didn't even join until the second Foo Fighter record was already in the can. So the first record I actually was a part of was an album called Nothing Left to Lose. Mm-hmm. And that was back in 99, I believe. You know, it's a lot of work. It takes a lot. It's a lot of work because we do our best to get it right, and getting it right has a lot to do with a lot of different elements, you know, be it performance or, you know, arrangement or just vibe. Or right. Is just the song any good? You know, I mean, that's the first question. We have a good song here to begin with, you know, and you know, really in the Foo Fighters, I've played just such a supportive role. I mean,
sure.
We're all sort of there to sort of support Dave's vision, and he's such an all around musician that he could pretty much dictate everything to us, what he wants us to do.
Right. But, we've heard stories, you know, about how he wasn't totally cool with maybe the drum part or the guitar part or the bass line or something like that. And he would go into the studio and do it all himself. We had Gilby Clark in the studio a couple weeks ago. And when he, you know, he was the second Izzy Stradlin in Guns N' Roses. And he said by that time, Axl Rose was, you know, it wasn't a collaborative effort between four or five bandmates. It was just, you know, pretty much the brainchild of Axl. Do you find that now as the Foo Fighters have progressed, it's a collaborative effort between all you guys, four or five members?
You know, it's a collaborative effort in pulling together Dave's vision,
sure.
You know, if that makes sense.
I
mean, do we all just sit around throwing out our ideas and arguing about it? No. Dave usually has a pretty solid plan and idea of what he wants, and we basically just sort of see that through.
Mm.
And sometimes there's more wiggle room, and sometimes there's not much at all. And either way is fine, really, at the end of the day. I mean, I have my own ways to kind of get out my creative steam. So when it comes to Foo Fighter time, I generally am there to kind of just, you know, help him see his vision, you know?
Right.
I feel like when someone's a songwriter like he is, you kind of want to get out of the way unless
right.
he's asking, you know? And, you know, sometimes things happen organically out of spontaneity and just jamming in a room. And then sometimes it's very sort of dictated.
Right.
It's all done with the basic idea at the end of the day is to make as great of a record as we can.
Absolutely.
You know?
Again,
and it's his brainchild. So, I mean, at the end of the day, he's going to have the final say and he's going to get what he wants, mm-hmm. really, you know.
So do you
rarely do I put my feet in the sand and say, you know, hey, no, it's got to be like this, if ever, you know.
Mm-hmm. So is it safe to say that, I guess, what would be your main focus outside of that? Would it be Taylor Hawkins and the Coattail Riders? And also, I did have another question for you. Would you consider producing anybody else? Like if you saw a band at a random dive bar or listened to a record that you really like, would you take them under your wing and help them out a little bit? And have you done that in the past?
I've never really done it in the past, and I've never really given it much thought, but I guess I would. Yeah, I guess if someone said, hey, this is a great band, they only want you to help them make a record, and I loved their music.
Yeah.
Or if I saw some random band, and I thought they were great, you know, and I thought I could help them get their vision across, then I would, you
right.
know. It's just something that hasn't really popped up in my world at this point in time.
But you'd be open to that, right?
To.
Rami Jaffe was in here a couple weeks ago too, and I guess that's really how he passes the time these days, trying to facilitate the art of others, which is really cool,
yeah.
man.
Yeah. No, definitely.
And
I've never done it before, but I would, you know?
Yeah. Cool, man. Well, hey, we'll float you some cool music of some independent artists that we think you might be digging on. And again, man, we just launched this radio station. Whenever you get the chance, when you're sweeping through Laguna Beach again, you got to stop by. Everything from, you know, the station vehicle to the studio space is like right on Coast Highway to just, you know, the vision.
Well, I think that's really exciting that you guys have that place. And I wish they would have had it when I was a kid. That's for sure.
Dude, I pop out of bed and I clap my hands and I can't wait to get to work in the morning. And it's not like the other radio stations around the country. We have creative control. You know, I could do an interview with Taylor Hawkins any afternoon. I don't have a program director knocking down my door to, you know, tell me stop doing that, play Gautier or Weezer again. You know what I mean? So
great.
I feel
lucky
like we do.
You,
yeah, right. I feel like I'm not getting rich doing it, but I feel like we definitely do have something special here. And I also feel like we have a lot of up and coming musicians who are paying attention to this radio station. what advice you would, what is the advice you would give to someone who would like to be in your shoes one day, you know, who's playing those gigs at night, working a crappy day job during the day just to facilitate their art? What would you say to those types? I guess you said before, really, yeah, don't invest a whole lot into it and just keep working on it, right? And if it happens,
well,
it happens.
Well, I mean, I would say that, you know, at the end of the day, don't look at it as a career opportunity, you know? And if you love making music, then keep making music. And the good thing about right now, it's at this point, I think music is kind of starting to get in the hands of the artist more again. You know, people are doing it themselves now, you know? It's like everything's almost becoming independent because you can make a record and put it out for almost nothing now.
Right.
You know? You can create your own website and, you know, put a record out yourself now.
Right.
You don't need to sign the big record deal with Atlantic Records for $1 million and then have a bunch of A&R people telling you to go write songs with, you know, this person and that person because, you know, their stock options and all of this are riding on it. And, you know, you can do it yourself. You
right.
can really do it yourself. I really feel like if you work hard and you're doing it because you really love music, that, you know, you probably will have some form of success. Success is all sort of relative, you know. If you're looking to buy mansions, you should be a lawyer, not a musician.
Absolutely.
Know?
I feel like a couple of years ago, the only bands who could issue their music for free was like Prince, Radiohead, and Nine Inch Nails. But now with, you know, this new social media platform, you know, and the internet and stuff like that, you absolutely can do it yourself, huh?
Yeah. I mean, absolutely. I mean, some of the biggest successes in the last couple of years have been people who just did it themselves.
Right.
You know, they don't need to. That's kind of the great thing, you know. The business has changed. It's in the hands of the artist, but you gotta be creative. B, you gotta work hard.
Mm-hmm.
But C, you gotta just really love what you're doing, you know?
Again, Taylor Hawkins on the line. We are member-supported radio, KX93.5. If you're a new member, if you're a new listener, thanks so much for paying attention. You could be a member of this radio station. All the details are online, KX935.com. So Chevy Metal is tonight. We are certainly looking forward to it. You never know who might show up at a Chevy Metal show. I guess we saw that on the internet over the weekend when you guys played Costa Mesa.
Last gig we did, Dave came. The weekend before that, Nikki Six from Motley Crue got up and played with us. And Jason Sudeikis got up. I don't know if we had anything special tonight. So far, not that I know of, but you never know.
You never know. And I think
it
is
the same old, plain old us. So.
Dude, it is something special for a lot of people just to see Taylor Hawkins behind the drum kit totally rocking out. So I guess maybe some of your influences come out in the Chevy Metal project. You're playing some music that you dig on, you know, from the past. Like,
absolutely,
what kind of tunes do you guys rip into?
We do a lot of Halen. We do a lot of Stones. We do a little Queen. We do a lot of stuff. We do a lot of Sabbath.
Do you a little Lemmy and Motorhead from time to time, or
we don't really do any Motorhead? Yeah. We might need to work in a Motorhead song eventually, you know? That sounds good to me.
Right on, man. Again, Taylor Hawkins on the line. You could tweet at his hair. It is at Hawkins Hair in the land of Twitter. You could tweet at us. We are at KX935. Anything to say to the general public who might not be familiar with the Chevy Metal project quite yet? Or let me ask you this before I let you go. What's in the works for the Foo Fighters? You guys are just taking an open-ended hiatus right now.
We call it an I-hatus.
An I-hatus?
Yeah. We're starting to kind of dig around, you know, starting to kind of think about getting together, and it's we're having text meetings right now and talking, and we'll probably start picking up instruments before the end of summer and start like seeing what Dave's got in his back tricks, and he's got a lot of ideas he's already told me about, and I'm thinking by Christmas next year.
Very cool.
Maybe before that. We'll see.
Well, not that you need the promotions or anything like that, but our studio's always open for you, man. And again, sooner or later, you got to check out our little operation. It's only a handful of us running this thing. And And we're really having a great time doing it. So I do envision the station to be around for years to come.
Well, congratulations to you guys.
Thank you so much, man. And we'll definitely see you at the show. And thank you so much for taking the time. I was, you know, we do this every day. That's part of the perk of the job. We have in-studio performances. We have guests in studio all the time. But I was shaken, man, just to call you on the phone.
Come on.
But you're very personable and an easy guy to talk to. So thanks again for that.
You got it, pal.
All right,
you are too.
I dig on the 818 number. Being a Valley guy myself, wherever you're calling from in Southern California right now.
Yeah, well, you know, if you would have told me when I was 14 years old that I was going to live in the Valley, I would have said you're crazy. I'm never going to live in the Valley. I live in the Valley now, so there you go.
Cool. Well, you'll fight the traffic. You'll make it down here, and we'll see you tonight at 7 Degrees for Chevy Metal. Taylor Hawkins, we'll talk to you soon, and God bless you, friend.
Right on. You too, brother.
All right. See you, man.
Bye-bye.